It's a pleasure to welcome Jessica Kane to our program this morning. She is the author of the new book, The Girl Who Was Born with Glue in Her Brain. It is a picture book slash memoir about a girl with a handful of thoughts that keep her from being able to enjoy life as much as she would like to, and what she eventually decides to do about that. Jessica Kane is the author and illustrator of four books for children, The Butterfly Who Was Afraid to Fly and Other Stories, Feed It to the Worms, and A Book of Hearts. Again, the new book, the fourth, is The Girl Who Was Born with Glue in Her Brain. And it's a pleasure to welcome Jessica Kane to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
A delight to have you on the program. This book is beautiful, and two things about it. One is that not only did you write this story, but you illustrated it as well.
Yes.
And what brought you to want to tell this story, because you do label it as part of your story?
Yes, it's a much more simplistic version of my story, but I feel like I've become kind of an expert on anxiety because of my history. So over the years, I have been experiencing anxiety in tons of different ways. You know, as a child, I had kind of a crazy childhood, and I was kind of forced to figure out ways to make my own anchor in the world so that I didn't feel so uncomfortable in my body. So over the years and after I had my own child, I thought I would share some of the things that worked for me.
Did you make the link, if you will, as a kid, that it felt like there was glue in your brain, or is that looking back on it?
Well, I wanted to make something a little bit amusing, because I think part of for me and my experience, part of overcoming anxiety was to find ways to feel empowered in the presence of it. And I liked to laugh, and I liked the idea of glue in my brain and thoughts being stuck to my brain. But then I also found it really useful to imagine the idea that I could also stick other kinds of thoughts to my brain. And humans are such adaptable creatures. I think we get used to whatever's on top. So if we can stick new thoughts that make us feel better, I think those become what's real for us after a period of time.
I ask the question because it seems as though it's so apt. I mean, it seems like such a wonderful way to describe it.
Well, thank you.
When you think of the, we'll talk about the book in a second, but when you think of your childhood, were you aware that you were adapting and that you were finding a way to stick those other notes to replace the bad ones with good ones? Or was that just something, again, that you look back on and say, all right, I was able to do that?
Well, I think in my childhood, part of why I suffered was because I didn't know that my perspective mattered. I was so busy looking for approval. Eyes on me were a way to feel like I existed. So my anxiety personally came from, well, who can I be to get eyes on me so that I'm validated? So that became my full-time job. And relying on the reactions of other people can never really lead, at least in my experience, to pleasurable moments. So I was constantly feeling like I needed to figure out who to be to get the approval or validation. And then the whole thought of sticking positive or empowered thoughts to one's brain is really kind of finding a place to stand, finding a perspective that I can see and filter life through. So when I'm walking, I'm not looking at eyes on me, I'm looking at how I see the world, and knowing that other people are also seeing the world through their perspective. And that can be a whole new way to experience life and to get rid of some of that anxiety.
At what point in your life were you diagnosed with anxiety?
Well, I stayed away from professionals. I had a mother who was absolutely brilliant and hysterical and amazing, but she was paranoid. So we were always on the move because there were stalkers and this and that. So I had kind of an acute situation growing up with this mom who was the star of her own movie, running around.
So was it just you and her?
Yeah, for a while, until I moved in with my father, and he had different wives while I was with him. So I had a lot of different sources of wanting people's validation and their not being in a place to give me that. And I think that's very common for a lot of children who grow up in dysfunctional environments where they don't feel like they can find an anchor, like they're not worth having an anchor to see the world through.
You describe this girl, the girl in the book, as being embarrassed of keeping these thoughts to herself. But there were only just a few thoughts, and they kept on living in her over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of those were internalized thoughts from people. When someone is paying so close attention to the reactions of other people, and if other people are saying things that maybe aren't very kind, maybe not on purpose, but because of the chaos of the world, a very sensitive person will internalize that and make that mean something about them. So then that becomes, well, maybe my thoughts really don't matter. So that then becomes a thought that when I go out to share myself and I hesitate because I don't want that reaction again, I'll pull back and say, well, I think I'll just keep that to myself.
So. Was it often glossed over of what you were going through as a child with that label of, oh, she's very sensitive?
But it was almost like my mother ran the show with her drama. So almost my problems were just kind of pushed aside because we had busy things to do.
So I want to get back, and I don't mean to press, but I'm just asking. So at any point, did you, even in adulthood, was there a diagnosis?
Well, yes. Once I got older in my 20s, the anxiety progressed into panic attacks.
Yeah.
And that was...
Which are debilitating.
They were... I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was dying. That feeling of suddenly being anchorless. I have my own philosophy about it, but of course I drove immediately to the ER thinking that I needed help because I thought I was going to keel over. And that's when I got the diagnosis in my 20s that I had an anxiety disorder and panic and all that stuff.
Did that include depression for you?
I mean, I'm sure it's all interwoven, but for me, it was that frazzled state of not feeling grounded, feeling like I needed to do something, but I didn't know what, feeling like something's wrong here, but not really sure what.
There was a line in the book that really struck me, and it's one that says, as the years continued on, so did her problem, and she began to grow very, very tired of listening to this handful of thoughts. And I understand what you're saying there, but I really, what resonated with me is that you grow very, very tired. Being in an anxious panic state is really exhausting.
It sure is.
So if you imagine being a can of soda that you just continually shake up, and that's how you feel all the time, that's how it feels. And people who don't have it don't understand it.
It's so true. Yeah. I mean, when I had heard about panic attacks and such things before I experienced it, it was hard to understand or get into that world. But it's absolutely true. And after a very long time, a person really wants to experience a level of comfort in their body and be able to relax.
You have a scene in the book where the girl is drinking something called a thought remover. What was that for you? What was the thought remover?
Well, anything that I, of course, it's a metaphor for any substance that would be out there that I would put in here that would give me the idea of, well, I feel okay now, but not generated from within as a place to stand. So it could be alcohol. It could be other people's attention. And there, obviously, it's a substance like alcohol.
Uh-huh, right.
Or pills or whatever.
But then they wear off.
Yeah, and then you're back to, here it is again.
And you also don't really ever feel that great
That's so true.
When you're with them anyway, it doesn't really go away.
No. And my mother passed away 3 years ago, after years of trying to calm the fire with substances. Yeah. So I saw what that does to a person. So I knew that wasn't a successful route.
Was your mother ever formally diagnosed with a mental illness?
Yes. But I always was frustrated with the mental health care system because you can't get the whole context of somebody. She was so smart and so brilliant and had so much to offer, but there wasn't really, the world didn't have a place to invite her in to share her brilliance and her gifts. And she didn't have the confidence to really realize what she could offer. So her amazing self kind of imploded inside her. And she was paranoid. She had some serious problems with thinking. So she was hospitalized all over the country, you know, but she was funny. She always made a big drama when she went to the
hospital. Did you ever think, and I don't think kids think about this. I know I never did. But I mean, do you think, were you ever like, oh, all right, maybe what she has, I have.
Not quite. I think she was kind of like my vaccine against what she had, because I could see clearly, because I've always paid so close attention to her set of stuff. And I could see she was listening to those voices in a different way than I was. And, you know, she had something very different going on with a level of paranoia. I never really felt that important that someone would be giving me all that attention on the sly. So we definitely had different issues.
We're just about out of time, but what do you hope people get out of the book?
I'm hoping that somebody who was my age back, you know, in the teenage years might read this book and feel like someone gets them, have a little laugh and maybe a little feeling of, hey, you know, maybe my own perspective really is amazing. Maybe if I ground myself and see life through my perspective and share it, I'm going to feel proud.
Well, it's a beautiful book, and you should feel very proud of the book. It is gorgeous. It's written and illustrated by Jessica Laurel Kane. The book is The Girl Who Was Born with Glue in Her Brain. Jessica, thank you so much for sharing with us.
It's so fun to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you on the program. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.